Welcome back once again, week 9, Reality NSFW covering Big Brother Canada. It's the Wednesday night veto episode. I'm Zach Hacker, and I'm joined once again by the great Brent Wagamot. Brent, you have been at the beach. How are you doing? You look very tan, very happy.
Thank you. I didn't get a lot of sun because I am totally white. And my ex was a physician, and he constantly preached to me the ills of the sun and UV rays and whatnot. So I always went out with sunscreen on and always was underneath the parasol at the beach. So this is the first time I actually had some sun, but I used like 50 and 70 the entire time. I got a little bit of sun, but not a lot. But I am fully refreshed. I had a fabulous time in Fort Lauderdale. It was honestly the gayest place on earth. I went to Wilton Manors, which is like the gay part of Fort Lauderdale. And it's just like literally the straight people. Y'all are in the minority. We were at a restaurant that literally had all gay men in it. There was one table with a family, and it was obvious they were lost. I don't know how they got there. Like they were totally not. They were welcome, but they were, I don't know how they ended up in Wilton Manors. But nevertheless, I'm here to talk about Big Brother Canada. It was a perfect week for me to be gone because I normally watch the feeds quite a bit. But there were no feeds for the majority of the time that I was gone. And that is a point of contention, which we will talk about.
Yeah, for the first time, I'm thinking you're in cahoots with Global. You go on vacation and suddenly the feeds disappear. And then you come back and they're back. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Totally. Global and I are like that. I'm just telling you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Brent, we have not talked about how the fake double went down last week. It was a controversial twist when we first heard about it. A lot of speculation. Nowhere on my board did I have the prediction that Tara beats Jed and returns to the house. What are your thoughts on how that?
First of all, let me think about things in the order that I'm trying to think about them. I loved the comeback competition. It was the kind of competition where you could be ahead and then behind in the blink of an eye. He had two balls and they cut the feeds for the house guests. Of course, the house guests are all thinking that Jed's going to come back into the house, but they're neglecting to realize that he could knock one of his balls off, which he invariably did. And of course, Tara did at various times. And there's a definite learning curve. I actually thought that Jed had the better idea with banking balls off of the sides. But then actually, as I went along, I thought that that was perhaps not the best idea because when you bank them, you kind of don't know where they're going to land at the top. Whereas if you roll them up in a straight line, yes, you have to have more finesse, but at least you know you can get one on the side and one on the side and maybe like one in the middle. That way you don't knock your own balls off, which knocking your own balls is always a bad thing. So let me just say that. I was really, really thrilled with the outcome of this. I felt like there was so much put into getting Jed out of the house, and Tara went in the blink of an eye, and I'm still not entirely sure how she went when Kiefer didn't want her to go and Brayden didn't want her to go, and yet she still went. These people are fucking nuts. But nevertheless, she went in the blink of an eye. I was actually glad that she came back in the house and that Jed was out, because I just felt like that would have been, we would have been cheated. They would have been cheated. We would have been cheated that he came back. And I love Jed, and he has been a great sport. I've listened to his interviews after the fact. He's been absolutely a total gentleman. But I feel like for the integrity of the game, if there is any integrity in this game, I felt like it was better for him to be out on the jury.
No, yeah. I mean, the fact that he's so great in all of his exit press is exactly why I'm thinking, oh, I'm actually glad you didn't come back in the house, because it would have been, water under the bridge potentially with Ty. I wanted, if he was going to come back, is I wanted the Ty versus Jed showdown, and I don't think we were going to get that from Jed.
I don't think we were going to get that either. I don't know. The one thing I will say about his exit interview talking about Jed that I really recoiled at was the fact that he's like, I know people probably think I regret not using the veto on me. That's not the thing I regret. I'm like, just shut up. We don't want to hear anything else. Don't try to be cute about it. You regret that. You regret it. We know it. You know it. Everybody fucking knows it, that you regret not using the veto on your goddamn self. You got greedy. You got by everyone else in the house. And that's how it went down. Just own your shit. But he won't own his shit. He's trying to say that the mistake was putting Kiefer up on the block the previous week. Not the not evicting him part. He said, I should never put him up because he had, I agree with that part. If you're not going to evict him, don't put him up. But you had the right idea. Put him up on the block, because then he goes down to say, who's the person who's most likely to win the game? Kiefer. Kiefer is at the top of everyone's list to win the game. If he gets to the end, it's going to be 7-0. What do you know? And yet he's like, that wasn't a mistake. I can't with some of the things he said in that exit interview, but he handled himself as a gentleman, and I thank him for that.
Yeah, you're allowed to have more than one regret. Jed, you should have a lot of regrets for how you played the game in the house.
I will say, I do try to avoid talking a lot about, especially stuff that happens on Thursday night, because I know people moved on, and I'm only on once a week, so I do try to avoid talking about it. However, as Zach and I talked about when we came on, not only are we down to two people tonight, Bobby is working tonight, so it's just the two of us, but Big Brother, in their benevolent wisdom, decided to give us so much stuff to talk about that if we didn't talk about a little bit Thursday night, you know, it's going to be like a half-hour show. So this is what we got. I want to give you my thoughts on Thursday because I was flying in the air when it was all happening. I would have loved to have seen Brayden winning the veto at the final five as a non-nominated house guest by using the veto on either Tara or Beth. He could have gotten Kiefer up on the block and voted him out as long as he made an agreement with the other nominee, which I'm sure they would have agreed to. The fact that Kiefer is playing such a game where he is the strongest house guest to win a jury vote, and yet he's the person that nobody really wants to get out at this point. Like, it's amazing to me that we went through two final fives and neither one of them Kiefer hit the block. I just don't know if they're going to get him out. And I'll say this too, if they don't get him out, it is their fault. It is his accomplishment and their fault if they do not get him out, because they are aware of the fact that he is by far the person who is most likely to win the game. But Brayden, you know, like I'd say what you want about Brayden. Yes, I'm very proud of him that he's won three competitions in a row. We can talk about that and what his odds are of winning the game. But it was a very passive move. I swear to God, if I'm in the final five and I'm not nominated and I win the veto, I am thinking long and hard about, okay, what can I do with this? What can I do with this to really solidify, like to make my mark on the game? That would have been all his move. If Kiefer went out there, that's all Brayden. It's 100% Brayden, and he's got that to hang on his wall that he got Kiefer out, because right now he doesn't have anything.
If you're Brayden. Yeah. Like, it's like Groundhog Day. Last week, final five, he can make the big Kiefer move. This week, final five, he can make the big Kiefer move again.
And he even joked about it. About it after he won HOH. You know, back to our Kiefer. And I'm like, yes, no, yes, no.
Okay. No, as soon as he's joking about it, you know he's not going to do it. But that's such a mistake. I mean, I do think the best thing we can do tonight is go through most of the players, how we see the end of their game shaken out as we're about to roll into final week. Brayden, like you said, big up on him. He won HOH. He's got a couple vetoes under his belt. I really don't see his prospects changing very much, though, from any of this. I don't think he's done enough with the power he's gotten. I think that he maybe has got himself in a better position to get to the end. But I don't think he can beat anyone on the board right now without like another big move, something.
I know. Well, you know, another win. If he makes it to, because I think he's odds on favorite to make final three. If he somehow wins final three HOH and evicts Kiefer, maybe. I mean, listening to Jed, it was Kiefer at the top and everyone else kind of in the middle. Like, I mean, he definitely has had his preferences as far as, you know, Beth, Ty above, you know, Tara and Brayden. But he was really ambivalent about all four of them, it seemed like. It seemed like, again, Kiefer was on a level unto his own and the four of them were fighting for scraps among themselves if Kiefer wasn't there. But if Kiefer's there, I guarantee you he's winning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Brayden is able to get Kiefer out, and then goes with Ty. Ty, infamously not great at articulating his game, not great at really articulating too much. Those diary rooms are painful. I like Ty a lot.
They are really painful. They are really painful. I noticed that tonight. I didn't want to be mean. Who am I kidding? I wouldn't be mean. they are really bad. They are like, I've never known a house guest to, I'd really have to go back through the annals of Big Brother. Sorry, I did that over my old podcast. That wasn't even me. Maybe it wasn't even me. I can't remember who it was. Somebody said that, and I started dying because I know it's annals and whatever. Anyway, but yes, the annals of Big Brother. I think that's more appropriate to find a house guest who is more unnatural in the diary room as far as like reading the shit that Big Brother has pre-written for them than Ty. He is horrid. He is monstrous at it. I never want to hear him in the diary room. He's much more fun just out and about in the house. He's chilling. He's having a great time with people. And, you know, maybe he's not the most articulate amongst the other house guests, but you know what? That doesn't matter because Big Brother's a social game and he is very social with people and they enjoy his presence in the house and he's not mean-spirited. So that's why I think he would still be a formidable presence in the finals if he were to get there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's probably Braden's most likely path to get there because, as we see, if we want to get into the episode a little bit, the episode opens with Braden and Kiefer, you know, hanging out, having some Wendy's and talking about the game plan. Seems like everyone's in agreement from the start that Beth's the one that needs to go. No surprise there. Nothing changes. This is the first week in Big Brother Canada 9 that we have a plan at the beginning of the week, and there's no dithering. We're going to go straight.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother with like non-spoiler section. Beth's going home. Beth's going home. Like unless something changes tonight, Beth's going home. Beth has dug her own grave. First of all, as you saw in the fake double eviction, neither Kiefer nor Braden really wanted her to stay in the first place. They really wanted Beth out. They wanted Tara to stay. Now that it's Braden's HOH and he has a little more say in the matter, that's definitely what's going to happen. She didn't win the veto. And not only that, she did a fabulous job of pissing off the people who are voting by once the nominations came in to trying to rant to all of them about why they weren't on the block and why she was. When at that point, girl, the bed is made. I know you want, like, I know if I play Big Brother that I would probably be a person like Beth, not in that way, but in this particular way, like where, you know, like I'd be ranting and raving inside about the fact that the people who are sitting pretty and high on the hog are not paying their invoice for what they did in the game and I'm paying the bill for them. But still, you got to keep your trap shut. And don't piss off, if you have any chance of staying, if you don't win the veto, you can't piss off Kiefer and Ty. And she did exactly that by basically castigating both of them for why aren't you on the block and I am. And if there was ever a chance she was going to stay, it ended on that conversation.
Yeah, Beth, once again, with some emergent Big Brother strategy. If you're on the block, just find whoever's voting and absolutely just tear them down and make them feel terrible. Yes. And scream at them. That's a really good strategy. Absolutely. A-level yes. Play.
And while we're castigating her, let's give some kudos to Tara, because I was proud of her that she did not divulge what she had told Jed. I don't know how much of a big difference it's going to make, but it's a card that she can play when she wants to play it. Otherwise, the way she's handled herself has been pretty good. Like, it wasn't amazing, but it wasn't terrible. She did a pretty good job of trying to laugh it off and venting to us in the diary room. That's the problem. Beth did not vent to us in the diary room, or if she did, she didn't get it all out. Tara got all of her venting out to us in the diary room, and then in the house, she's been pretty jovial. Like, she's like, oh, yeah, how did that happen? You guys voted me out. Well, let's see what happens this week. You know, just like trying to sort of, you know, knowing that you're placing your fate in the hands of people who just voted you out like 5 seconds ago. Like, that's got to be crazy for her to do. Yet she's done a pretty good job of it. So good for her.
No, I agree. And she's laughing it off, like we see with the weird hot tub party. She says, like, final five, and I'm not even supposed to be here. Like, you know, that's the way to play this if you have to come back in the house. So I do appreciate that. There were some things that we saw from Tara tonight that I am not a huge fan of. Like, if people were going to give her agency for taking out Jed, she is like trying to get them to not give her any credit for that move. She's actively saying, no, I didn't do this at all. That was all Jed. That was all Ty. That was all Kiefer. That was their move. I was just part of it.
And by the way, she's totally misinformed. She's totally misinformed on so many levels, because she's going to them going, you know, hey, we made this decision as a group. We were the ones who decided to vote Jed out. I'm like, girl, you are so behind, because they did not tell you until last. Like, they told you last. They told you, like, even Braden was in on the plan, and he was up on the goddamn block. That's another thing. We'll talk about that in a second. But, like, him castigating, or I got to stop saying that. Him getting mad at Tara for putting him on the block when she said, if you don't want to go up on the block, just tell me. He's like, no, I'm fine with that. It's okay.
Yeah. No, he basically volunteered. Come on.
I know, right? Anyway, yeah. But Beth was like last to know about this plan. They agreed. They made this plan without you, Beth. And then they told you at the end to make you think you were part of it all along, but you ain't part of it. That's the problem. You were last on the train. She was the caboose in the line of cars, and she doesn't know it. She thinks she's the locomotive. She thinks she's driving the tracks when in actuality, she's at the end.
Yeah. So let's, you know, Tara, along with Braden, Tara has really had the trajectory of her game change a lot in the last week and a half. I was considering her. She was even saying herself, just let me get there. 20K. Like, I'm happy with that. Just bring me along. I'm a goat. I think that's changed. I think she's a legitimate threat at the end. Now she has battled her way back, which I do think in Big Brother Canada is not going to be that big of a deal, even though she has been voted out. That week is going to be largely remembered for She Got Jet Out. If she doesn't give all the credit away, she needs to hold on to some of that. And
yeah, it was that was the thing. Yeah, well, can we talk about that before you move on? Because yeah. I did not like that she was giving Kiefer all the credit to Beth. Like, why are you doing that? Like, don't say that. Don't tell people that. But I will say it may be a problem that solved itself, because even though she was giving credit to Kiefer for the initial plan, she was the one who made sure Jed was out the second time around by beating him in the competition. So if she wasn't getting credit for it the first time around, she definitely got credit for it the second time around. However this season is told, Jed's mantle is on her wall, meaning Tara. So she's got that. So if that's worth something, and I think it will be worth something, then I think that she's got a shot as well. And she's like, I mean, again, this is the thing about Big Brother Canada this year. It's a smaller cast. It's a 7-person jury. We have not seen a 7-person jury in a long time. 7-person juries are very unpredictable. I like 7-person juries far more than 9-person juries, because it just takes one or two people to swing a vote. It really does, because you're always going to have a couple people one way and a couple people another. And like, literally, I remember Brendan and Rachel on their initial season of Big Brother deciding they were going to vote for Lane and turned what was a runaway Hayden victory into a 4-5-3 nail biter at the end, with Enzo casting the deciding vote. That's what I mean when I say 7-person juries, anything can happen. So again, I'm still of the belief that if Kiefer gets to the end, he's going to win. But any of these other people, they are drawing live, very live. There is not one of them, including Tara, including Brayden, that I would say is at a disadvantage over other people, because the things that they are lacking, I feel like other people have qualities that they lack as well. And if Kiefer doesn't get to the end, it's definitely going to be a fight for whoever does get there.
Yeah, and Kiefer is so head and shoulders above everyone else, and everyone says that, everyone in the jury is saying that, everyone in the house is saying that, he's going to have a lot of sway if he is in that jury house. I think that people who don't know this game will really take into account what his opinion is. So I think that, again, with the 7-person jury, he might have some
points. I agree with you.
Beth might have the opposite this week. I think that Beth is going to roll in there and really strongly be supporting this person or that person. And I think she may be annoying some folks in the jury house.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see that. But as far as Kiefer goes, I think if he's evicted at 4, his opinion matters. If he's evicted at 3 on finale night,
right,
I don't think it matters worth the damn. I really don't.
Too late to do it.
He's got to be there to bond with the jury. If he's not there, then his opinion doesn't mean diddly squat. It just doesn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Things looking up for Brayden and Tara. So while it is more of a slow week in terms of gameplay, and we're used to this flip-flopping, frenetic energy in this house, in some ways this is better rolling into final week, because I can see a legitimate case for any one of these people to win. I think a couple people need one move here or there, but that's exciting rolling in that there's a legitimate case for all of these folks, and they're able
to... Right, first of all, let me say a couple things. So there's a couple things that Beth put her fucking foot in her mouth earlier today. I'm going to get to that. But I kind of wanted to like just stay in the present for the moment and talk about the way the game board looks as far as like, you know, where we're at. Remember, Brayden won HOH at the final five, at the real final five. So he is now going to be in the pool of eligible house guests at the final four, meaning he's going to be eligible to be evicted or he's going to win the veto. Does that make sense? So somebody else other than him, meaning Tara, Kiefer, or Ty, is going to win HOH and make sure that they are into the final three with another chance to win HOH at the final three. So that's important, because if Brayden is in the final four, he's going to be on the block. And if he's not on the block, he's going to win the veto. And if he wins the veto, I think he's going to save Ty. And if he's on the veto, if he's on the block with Ty, like if Tara or Kiefer win the veto and they're the other person that's not HOH, then I feel like that they're going to... it's tough to say. I think he's got a shot to stay, is what I'm trying to say. So I feel like Brayden is probably here until the final four, unless they start getting spooked that he won three competitions in a row. If they start getting spooked that he won three competitions in a row, then I could definitely see them, you know, like they make their own history, and they get paranoid in the Big Brother house, and they might just decide, you know what, he's a threat all of a sudden, and we're like, he's not a threat, and nobody's saying he's a threat, but they decide he's a threat and they get rid of him at 4. I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, this kids is why you learn your history. If they had any context for what does make a threat in the end, they would be able to very clearly figure out where Brayden ranks right now in the jury's minds. But I could very easily see them Kind of like, what have you done for me lately? He's been winning comps, and comps are very important to a lot of these people, especially like Ty, who it seems to be like the bane of his existence that he can't win these comps. He really wants
that. Yeah, right.
So
while we're talking about that, can we talk about the comps? Because I obviously didn't get to talk about Monday night's episode. I just want to say again, Kiefer, like, great on him. If he gets to the end, it's obvious he's going to win. But he is so full of himself because he's like, I got these comps. I know I'm going to win these comps. These comps are mine. Like, I know my days. I know what happened. I know my trivia, my Big Brother trivias for Big Brother Canada 9. And yet he goes into the HOH competition, and he's literally like one question away from losing all of his chips. He got so many questions wrong. Did not play that well at all. And that's happened over and over again. So I don't really... Like watching him get questions wrong that even I knew, like, I feel like that if he gets to the end, I don't, like, I used to think if Kiefer got to the final three, he would be the odds-on favorite to win. He'd be like the Kevin Martin, where, like, you know, there's no way you're taking that final three HOH out of his hand. He's got his trivia down. But I don't think he's got his trivia down. I think he just thinks he's got his trivia down. But Big Brother Canada asks really wonky questions. And if you're not paying attention to the kind of questions that they like to ask, you're not going to have down what you need to have down. And Kevin Martin did it. And I don't think that Kiefer does. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said, I'm seeing people in the chat agree with that. I've loved the comps. They're kind of all like crapshoots. Like, anybody could pull this out on any given day, which... It's been a while. Even though we've seen Braden win three in a row, these have all been close. I could see any one of these house guests stepping up and winning. I don't think anyone has an inherent advantage over anyone else. But again, like you said, Kiefer, the ultimate salesman, I think they see him as a threat regardless of...
I agree.
He actually is. So again, on the one hand, I'm like, Kiefer, that's terrible. Why would you want everyone in the house to think that you're a threat at the end? But it continues to work. Kiefer's got this sort of like radical honesty thing that I thought was really good tonight in his game, where he's sitting up there. It seemed like every time it ever came up about there's a chance to get rid of Kiefer tonight, Braden, you might want to consider doing that, Braden. Kiefer was right there saying, Braden, please don't do that to me. Here's exactly what Beth's going to say. Here's exactly why this might be a good move for your game, but please don't do it. That's not going to be good. I'm with you. And it, like, he just broke it down exactly what Beth was going to say, exactly why it is good for Braden's game. And I think that when someone is so open and honest with you, and you think that they're potentially better than you at this game, it makes you trust them a bit more. Like, I think that that has a big hand in why Braden is not going to be making one of these moves, because Kiefer is having really open discussions about how big of a threat he is with Braden.
I think Kiefer's biggest threat to winning this game is a Terra HOH at the final four. Because if that happens, then he is in the pool of eligible house guests to be evicted with Ty and with Braden. And that is a bad scenario for him. Basically, he must win the veto at that point, or he's going to be evicted. If I were him, I would be hoping to God that Tara does not pull a miracle win. I shouldn't even say miracle, because she's won a couple competitions at this point, but she's won that the buyback competition, and she won HOH, and she won veto. So what the fuck? So she's somebody who could win, but the odds are that it won't happen. I'll put it that way. He would much rather that Ty or himself obviously win HOH at the final four. If a Ty HOH at the final four is better for Kiefer than a Terra HOH at the final four. Mm-hmm. That's important to note.
Yeah, that's his big hurdle. One other storyline that is, I think, of intrigue tonight is Ty opening up about his relationship with Braden and Braden's crush on him.
Couldn't be more perfect timing for that. I don't know what the fuck. There was something in the air because of some stuff that happened on the feeds earlier today, but they had this episode in the can like yesterday, probably on Saturday.
Yeah.
Who knows when they had it was definitely before today. That's my point. And for them to have that in the can, for Ty to talk about his relationship with Braden and what he's been doing and his flirting with him and his cuddling with him, making sure that Braden is loyal to him and sees him as an ally and maybe even more than an ally. That's what Ty said in the diary room, which was just... It was so great to hear because of what happened earlier today. So let's get into it. So earlier today, Beth decided she's going to be a bitch. Let's just say what it is. And she knows she's going home and she's having it out with Ty. Braden is right there. And she basically accuses Ty of using Braden, which he is doing, but you know, obviously, yeah. But I think they're also buds too. I think there's definite friendship there. And also accused Braden in so many words. I wish I had the quote in front of me. Maybe you guys can type the quote to me because I forget how exactly she said it. But the gist of it was clear that she accused Brayden of sexually assaulting Ty or doing things to Ty that he did not consent to and that Ty has talked about with Beth. Of course, Ty was denying this with when Beth and acting like she was a crazy person saying, I didn't say that. What the fuck are you talking about? So that was terrible to hear. And I will say that it's great to hear the truth of what's happening from Ty's point of view in the diary room and what he thinks about his relationship with Brayden. But let's be honest, the things that Beth was regurgitating earlier today, like some of that stuff hasn't been true for weeks. Like, maybe Ty said something about Brayden and Austin or something. Wait, like, fucking, what are you talking about? When Austin was in the house? Like, girl, like, history, get up to the recent history. Like, that might have mattered 5-10 weeks ago, but it doesn't matter right now. And it certainly doesn't matter for the relationship that Ty and Brayden have built. And I think if people watching or fans of Brayden would look at the relationship and hear what Ty's saying in the diary room and think that it's maybe a little bit of a parasitic relationship. But I'm here to tell you, I think it's more of a symbiotic relationship. I do think that they both kind of know what the other one's doing and they feel like they can beat the other one. I think Ty thinks he can beat Brayden and Brayden feels like he can beat Ty and they would love to take each other to the end together. So what the fuck? So Beth, you're a bitch. And I hope that Big Brother, we don't know because the feed's cut, and I haven't watched since then. So if there's an update, let me know. But the feed's cut. And I'm thinking that Big Brother probably took her in the diary room after that and told her to cool it with that kind of talk because it just wasn't cool. And then I think Brayden's sister was on his Twitter on tweeting under his Big Brother Canada name and said, you know, Brayden is a feminist and has always been a supporter for victims. So for to hear Beth accuse him of that is really cruel and unnecessary. And she thought, you know, Beth just continues to make herself look worse by the like literally by the minute, like another minute passed, Zach. She looks worse now. How you doing?
No, I mean, I've not understood all of the Beth hate, but this is disgusting. Like, this is absolutely deplorable. I could see this being a situation where they're recutting this Ty diary room into tonight's episode, given that came out, because I think it puts a lot of context, and I'm glad it was included, because, you know, seeing their honest perspective as much as they're being honest in the DR is really helpful. And, you know, I see this, like you said, as a symbiotic relationship. Like, obviously, they're both benefiting from each other. Ty is Brayden's untouchable. I think Brayden might be the only one in the house who has an untouchable, and that has become Ty. And they're obviously getting a lot from each other. Brayden is certainly not. I mean, we don't need to talk about it anymore. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, like, I'm fine talking about it from the respect of refuting it. Let's be clear. Like Heather says in the chat, Beth was essentially saying that Brayden was a sexual predator, which is a stereotype of gay men that has been in existence for a long time. So for her to say something like that, she needs to have definite backup. Like, you need to say, okay, like, this is what you did, and this is what you said, and this is what was happening. And she didn't have that because it doesn't exist. That's important to note. So, you know, fuck you, Beth, and you're going home at the final five. So,
yeah.
What you got now?
And her pitch.
I will say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. I was just going to say, let me say this real quickly. I should tweet to Arissa and ask her if they cut that in at the last minute, because I don't think that it, I mean, that would be a really quick turnaround. Just think it came up because Brayden was HOH and Ty had to get, you know, explain a little bit about his relationship. And we got lucky that it happened on the same day, because that conversation with Beth happened after I got home, and I got home like at 5 o'clock. So, like, Eastern, I'm talking. So yeah, I don't think they had that. I think it was just luck that it came.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was that late. Yeah, that would have been the ultimate hurry up. No, we got very lucky then, because those situations, any kind of clarity is very helpful. And Beth, fuck off. Don't do that.
Also, it's important to know too. You hear what she said in open company, right in front of Brayden too, and for all of Big Brother Canada, and obviously North America, and anybody who's watching to hear. Heather notes in the chat, and I retweeted this actually, that she said they were talking about, you know, will Big Brother Canada do something about it, about the fact that, you know, Beth was using these words in an open forum in the house. And Heather's take is that they won't, because of the gender double standards exist, and as does inherent white privilege and racism. Because as we remember, last year they got rid of Jamar as a black man, and here Beth is a white woman. And like, I remember when Jamar was removed from the house going, why?
Yeah.
Like, I still have not gotten an answer on that. And yet Beth can say whatever the fuck she wants in the house. Everybody apparently feels very safe because she's a white woman. So,
well, I mean, I'll say I don't think Jamar should have been kicked out of the house. I don't think Beth should be kicked out of the house for this, but I don't think either.
But yes.
I'm anti-ejection generally, unless there's an actual safety threat that is documented. But if she wants to be on there talking a fool and sounding like a goddamn racist idiot, go for it. You're trashing your own name. It's very unfortunate that you're putting everyone else through that, but your true colors are showing. It sucks. But like you said, she is going home. We see a little bit of her pitch in the episode. It's pretty weak. And like I said, it was really neutered by the fact that Kiefer already told Brayden exactly what Beth was going to try to say. Like this, I'm just so impressed by Kiefer honestly and openly saying, this is why I'm a threat. And that's going to be the pitch you hear. But I'm asking you not to do it because this reason, that reason, that reason. Proactive gameplay. I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah, I also, I think that this bugged me too during the double eviction, watching the two girls just let the guys talk it out. Like, if I was a nominee, I would have been in there. Like, Brayden won the goddamn veto. I would have been begging him. I would have pulled him into another room and said, look, Kiefer is the biggest threat in the game. If you use the veto on me, I'll vote with you, and it's totally your move. Like, why wouldn't you do that? And they literally allowed everybody to make their own decision and just sat back and watched. Like, I know Tara's still in the game, but honestly, both of them should have lost for their behavior at the final five when they literally just let the boys make the decision about everything. So anyway, you know what? Beth's going to go home tomorrow. I don't see it changing. Jed's mom's going to be really happy because she wasn't having it on Twitter. And, you know, it's going to be a final four with four very deserving people. And I will say, you know, from a game point of view, I do want to give credit to Beth, because I think this is her swan song. She has played well, and she was really uniquely situated in a trio where she had, you know, shields in front of her, and yet was a threat in and of herself. She does have some kudos with the jury. Some of the jurors have thought highly of Beth.
Yeah, we
number one or number two. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. At the top of their list, and I think if she had gotten to the end, she might have had a chance, but it doesn't look like it's meant to be.
I think that's good for everybody involved. But yeah, she did do well. I think that she's the only person in Big Brother Canada history I can think of being in the situation that she was in the house. She's unique for that reason. So I like the strategy of cozy up to the two guys and roll through. I think that, you know, I do you agree with me? I think that the getting rid of Jed move is really, she had such a clear path to the end, and they had the waters. That was a mistake. If it wasn't for that, coasting.
Yeah. I mean, I know she was the last person to know. I mean, you know, it wasn't totally her decision, but being on board with the Jed move, and I know she was like before she was against it or whatever. But like, That was never a good move for her. And I really never thought it was a good move for a bunch of people. I remember on the podcast last week, I was talking about how it was such a bad move for Kiefer, and yet he's managed to resituate himself in between these two boys that are left in the house in Ty and Brayden. So, like, you know, good for him. I really thought, and you heard it in Jed's exit interview, he was thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, which was, if Kiefer doesn't win HOH at the final five, he's going to be in trouble. But yet, he didn't win HOH. He didn't win the veto, and it looks like he's still here. So there's no other way to explain it other than good game plan on his part.
Yeah, he's doing well. Let's go ahead. Let's take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk about the power of veto.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus, and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches, and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood, and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years to help with my workouts, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after my workouts. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has some amazing flavors you'll love. I know I do, but without all that bad stuff.
Hey, we're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got some exciting news. Magic Spoon will be releasing 2 amazing new flavors this month for a limited time only. We're talking about cookies and cream and maple waffle. Do I now have 2 favorite flavors of Magic Spoon that I haven't even tried yet? Because I'm looking at my dream board right in front of me, and what's there? Cookies and cream and maple waffle. This is a dream come true. And if that isn't the most comforting, indulgent combination, then I don't know what is. This is the ultimate treat yourself combo. So make sure you get some while you can for a limited time, or build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, one of my faves, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon, my absolute fave. Now, if you're listening in Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well.
That sounds about perfect for the maple waffle. If you want to get in on this, go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition cookies and cream, maple waffle, or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And we are back, and it is POV time, and we are at that point in the game when everyone gets to compete in the power of veto, including the HOH. Sweet! And that could have really paid off already this week, but sadly, not too big of a deal. But we get on-tilt pinball competition. This was all right. I liked this competition. It was kind of that Survivor competition where they drop balls in the wire cage.
I forget what that's called. They have it. It's called like a Slotrella or something. I don't know. There's a Spinnerella or there's a name for it. I know they have a name for it. Sorry, my contact just moved. But like they have a name for it in Survivor where you have to drop the balls. This is the one that Stephen Fishback famously lost when he was competing against JT.
Yes.
in his season of Survivor. And I think also, let's see, somebody else interesting. Kelly Wentworth famously lost this at the Final Four, losing to Jeremy. And then it came up one other time. Nick Wilson also won this competition. So, Fitch, I know my...
I'm so impressed.
Fitch. Yeah. Fitch. Anyway, yes. But yes, this competition is one of my faves. Like, it's something where if you're smart, and like Brayden admitted it in the diary room, like, I am not the fastest, I am not the most fit, and I'm terrible with math and counting, but he still got it done. Like, he still did a good job. Like, I'm glad... Like, I would be so dumb because I could see myself like going to the top of the stairs and then, you know, when it's just the one ball and just like, you know, sort of lackadaisically doing it and not really paying attention to literally like how many, like when you drop the ball, like how many seconds rows. Is it going to take? Yeah, exactly. How much time is in between each step? I don't know that I would have been smart enough to do that. Maybe I would have. You never know in the Big Brother house, but I was really, really proud of him for winning a competition when he wasn't supposed to win. Those are always the sweetest, in my opinion. Sort of like I always think of Portia at the Final Four veto, where like I thought for sure Rachel was going to win that because it was all about trivia and knowing your stuff and everything. And Portia in Big Brother 13 comes out of nowhere to win a veto that she had no business winning and got herself to the end of the game. So I love these kind of competitions, and it really is a level playing field for anybody who wants to win. You just have to time it well enough and pay attention, and Brayden did that.
Yeah,
it was really it was really stunning on television. I love the colors, I love the lights, I love the paint job. Everything looked really, really snazzy.
Lots of flashing, so much so that we got a warning because there's so many strobes going on. But it looked
did
really
we cool. I'm sorry, I didn't see that's very cool.
Yeah, Tara is glad to see this one, even though she will be the first one out, because she's glad to have an endurance comp. This is not an endurance comp, right?
I mean, it can be when you have three balls going and you're sort of running back and forth. It's more about, Heather says in the chat, like it's a timed release. It's not really about, like, unless you're really, really out of shape. Then I could see it coming into play. But it's really more about your thought process and being... You know, really, like we talk about this, or I have talked about this in the past, where it's not about being really fit, but it's about being someone who's used to these kind of pressures that come with competition and winning and knowing how to keep cool. Because you saw Kiefer, like he freaked out and let his ball go too soon. And Tara did the same thing where the balls got too close to each other because they didn't breathe and take a second and just, you know, let it get a little further, let the ball that's in front of it get a little further down the tracks before you drop it, because once you drop it, then they're too close together and that's how you lose that game. So it was tough to watch some of these people, and they didn't have a good strategies. But no, it is not a endurance competition, Tara, but it was more of an endurance competition than anything else that they've had recently. Yeah, so I'll take it.
That's true. I'll give her that. But this was not willpower. There is a lot of actual dexterity and patience going into this. But Brayden wins 3 in a row. As we said, impressive. He is making a genuine case for himself. If he can make one game move in addition to these comps, I think he's got a good case.
Yeah, he needs one game move. He needs one. And he could do that this week. But it doesn't look like he's going to do it. I'm kind of bummed about that because he could write his resume right now. He could write his resume right now by taking one of those girls off the block and putting Kiefer up and getting rid of Kiefer. Because if he did that, he goes into the Final Four. And I know that that's scary for him because he can't be HOH at the Final Four. But you know Ty's going to save him. And if Ty wins veto or wins HOH, you know, or it's really more about the veto. If Ty wins veto at the Final Four, you know you're safe. If you win veto, obviously you're safe. I'm trying to think if Tara, if he got Kiefer out this week, which I know is not going to happen. But if he did, then what would Tara and Beth do at the Final Four? Would they get rid of Brayden? I
I doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe after this week they would, but if he saved one of them and saved the other, I don't know. Like,
yeah, you're right. No way.
It's tough. Yeah, we can talk about the final four and who needs to win or whatnot, but this move is still too juicy, you guys. I don't care if it puts him in a little bit worse of a situation. He needs a move that's on his resume. And I'm sorry, but like, he's running out of time. Like, he can't be the HOH at the final four, which means he could only win the veto or win the final three HOH. He's got two chances to make one singular move. And to me, that move needs to be getting out Kiefer. If he can get out Kiefer, he can win the game. That'll give him four competitions minimum, and he will have gotten Kiefer out of the game. I think he wins over Ty in that scenario. And also, Braden's a better talker. I listened to him in the diary room. He's very fun. He's very affable. He's got a great personality to him and obviously a good social game. So I would favor him over Ty. In the end, especially once people think about, you know, Ty had the trio and had all that protection. What did Braden have? He worked his way in after Austin was evicted pre-jury. So I think that Braden wins in that scenario.
No, I think so, too. It's a game-winning move. And he's, you know, not only is he running out of time, like you said, how many times do you have all of the power in a week to do literally whatever you want?
And that's the thing. Like, in Big Brother Canada, you can't, because the HOH can't compete until now. So this is the one time he could have done this.
Yeah, this is one of like 2 weeks where this is even possible. So, you know, I really think he needed to pull the trigger this week. It's kind of disappointing, but he does still have a chance.
But again, that's the thing. Like we're like sitting here lambasting him for not making this move. And like, just like I lambasted everybody else last week, again, that's the thing about a zero-sum game, is that somebody has to fucking win. So one of these people is not going to make this move. And somebody's still going to win the goddamn game. And they're going to think that they're fucking amazing. Of course, we're going to have to live with that. But we know the tea. We know what really happened. So let's see what happens next week. I'm very excited for this final four. A lot of possibilities.
Speaking of excitement, Brent, there's a hot tub party that Kiefer finds.
Woo! Oh, my God. Like, this is what goes so lame. Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
Lame. Like, it was so small.
It was like one tiny little high top table. With what, like, they get two beers each and like maybe half of a sandwich, and they are like
when I was trapped by the coronavirus with no sex for 6 months, and the first guy I meet drops his pants and has a 5-inch dick. Like, that's literally like that. Like, oh wow, when in reality it's like, oh wow. Like, I mean, but that's how the same level of excitement these people had. It was literally the most pitiful party you could have ever had for something like this. And yet they acted like it was the second coming or something. So congratulations to them for the final five. Beth still being annoying by running around going, ah, ah! Like, just, I mean, even at the fake final five, she was being annoying. So I didn't even know how they put up with her.
Yeah. Hey, next time Big Brother Canada, at least have like Marsha the Moose announce this or to them or something. Like, put in some fun factor, because this is so sad.
Oh my God, I just went blurry. But where the fuck is Marsha? Like, seriously, we haven't seen her, right?
No.
And it's Trevor Boris. He's on Twitter. Like, Trevor is Marsha.
Yeah.
So like, what the fuck? I need to tweet him.
He
follows me. What the fuck?
All right.
Trevor,
all right,
where's Marsha?
We need him in the game. We need Marsha.
Yes.
All right. Really, really, the last thing we see before the POV ceremony then is Beth pitching to Braden to backdoor Kiefer, which we have talked about up and down. I don't think she does a particularly good job with this pitch. I'm not impressed with her pitch at all, other than the fact that they can hear her in the HOH room from outside. Those are some pipes she's got. That is impressive that they're having a conversation all the way through the house.
I know. I think that this is the other way that I'm a lot like Beth. I talk loud. Like, when I'm with people, I remember in Sequester, some people, not everybody, but some people thought I was overbearing and too intense, because my voice tends to carry when I'm in a group of people, or even when I'm in front of a couple people, when I'm in an open setting. You know, usually I like to articulate and enunciate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I always talk to like the person in the back row, you know, who can hardly hear, you know, that's the person I'm talking to. When in reality, you see people like Braden and Ty who don't use that level of intensity that Beth has. And yet they are sitting in a better spot than her, because I still think she really made her own bed this week by lambasting the voters. When you end up on the block and then you go after the people who aren't on the block, who are going to be voting on your fate, she basically banked on the fact that she had to win the veto, because otherwise, how the fuck are you going to get these people to vote for you after you ranted to them that they should be on the block instead of you. Like, who wants to hear that? If I'm voting and you come to me and go, Brent, like, I'm really mad. You should be on the block, not me. I'm going to want your ass out. And that's exactly what's happening this week.
Yeah, and we get to the POV ceremony, and as we knew, Braden does not use the veto, and we are going to leave Tara and Beth on the block going forward. And that's how the episode ends, going into what I think is maybe the most predictable eviction vote of the season tomorrow night.
Well, it is from the perspective of we think that Beth's going to go home, and I am 95% sure that she's going to go home at this point. I give her a 5% chance of staying only because of the history of this particular house. That's why I would give her a 5% chance of staying. But when you consider that they just evicted Tara and then she solidified her, like, why did you evict her in the first place? And then she beat Jed again. And now you're not going to evict her? Like, her resume got better, and now you're not going to evict her? It just shows you how bad Beth played this week. Does that make sense to you guys? Like Beth should not be going home here. She should not be, but yet she is. And that's from that perspective, it is surprising.
That is true. Yeah. Tara, I don't know. They're, as we've said all along, these people are so unpredictable. Whatever they said 5 minutes ago is the opposite of what they're going to do now. So things could change. Clearly, their opinion on who should go home of Beth or Tara has changed. It can always happen again. But I will be stunned if tomorrow night I am on here talking with Peter Brown about how Tara went home again.
I don't think it's going to happen. Beth's going to be eating some of her words. I remember when she was talking about it tonight in the episode, I even tweeted about it, where she was like, you know, what am I going to do? I can't win against Jed. Get to the end and, you know, sit there and win $20,000. I'm like, $20,000 looks pretty good right now, Beth. I'm just saying, because it looks like you're going home at the final five. And it's hilarious, too, even more so, because she was the one who was the most demonstrative out of everybody in celebrating, we made it to the final four. And then, you know, like, Arissa is just getting ready to drive. And then, you know what? I haven't taken the producers of Big Brother Canada to task. And I will now, because I wanted to get this out while I'm thinking about it. I just wanted to give everybody who is in charge of Big Brother Canada, I'm not going to single anybody out, but if you're in charge of the decision to block us from the feeds from Thursday night until Monday night when it was revealed who was coming back into the house, seriously, fuck you. Because that was a horrible fucking decision. I don't know how Big Brother Canada puts its foot in its mouth every fucking season. They have mostly really good seasons, and then usually at the final seven, the final six, sometimes the final eight, they will find a way to insert some fucking goddamn horrible twist into the game that fucks over the people in the house and fucks over the fans. And I don't mind sometimes if you fuck over the people in the house. That's okay. Like, I'm here for a good twist that fucks some people over. You know, Kevin Martin famously got evicted because of the surprise triple eviction in Big Brother Canada 3, and I thought it was hilarious. Sorry, Kevin. Bad luck, girl. You know, and then, like, and obviously, you know, he ended up winning the game in five, so it makes it all the better. But, like, that's okay when it fucks over the people in the house. When you fuck over the fans, the people that brought you back, people forget Big Brother Canada was fucking canceled, and it was the fans that brought you back. To have a fantastic season like this, and to decide to drop the feeds from Thursday to Monday for basically five fucking days, I just thought was a horrible fucking decision. So short-sighted. Really, like, it brought all the momentum of the season to a standstill. And that's why I feel so blah about where we're at in the game right now, because you had such an amazing season going and then you just stopped it. And there is no evidence that spoiled shows get worse ratings than non-spoiled shows. We're spoiled all the fucking time. Yeah. And we still watch the episode. Yeah. Big Brother Canada has been number 26 or number 25 in the ratings, and it hasn't fucking changed even. Like, it's just, it's so frustrating to me that they do this. And I realize that the feeders are not the people that they're necessarily appealing to. Like, they don't necessarily care about the feeders. It's about the general audience. It's sort of like the Democratic Party, when they're like, the Democratic Party who elected Biden is not Twitter. It's the, you know, it's the massive Democratic Party as a whole, not the people on Twitter. Big Brother Canada thinks the same thing in regards to its fans. It's like, the fans on Twitter are not our viewers. our viewers are much larger than that. And that's true. But the lifeblood of this show is the feeds and the fans who tweet about them and cover it. And it was so disappointing for Big Brother Canada to turn the lights off on the feeds for 5 days at the end of what has been one of its most crazy seasons ever. And honestly, one of its cleanest seasons. Like, it hasn't had any twists or anything that have gotten in the way of the game. The house guests have done it all themselves. So the fact that they decided to turn off the feeds for 5 days was so short-sighted. And I really hope that after they see that the ratings are, that there's literally no change, you got nothing out of it, you just pissed everybody off for no reason whatsoever, that they don't do stuff like this anymore. I know that Arista Cox said in an interview that they don't do tune in next time HOHs because of the feedback of the fans on Twitter. She saw what was happening on Twitter and she said, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore because the fans don't like it. So they don't do those competitions anymore where they say, you know, tune in on Monday to see who won HOH when we all know who won HOH after the feeds come back on Thursday night. I would really like it if Arista, who is a real fan of the show, just like knock some fucking sense. I know she's not the only producer, but she can knock some fucking sense into Aaron Brock and her team and say, stop doing this shit. Like, why would you bring your season to a standstill when you had such a massively huge, successful thing going? Again, terrible decision, and I will not forget it.
Yeah, I mean, how hard is it to just leave the feeds up? Like, it doesn't take any extra work, right?
We missed everything. We missed, like, if let me say this too. If Jed had come back in, we would have missed all of the reconciliation with Ty and what they were really thinking and what they were really plotting. Like, they kind of got lucky in that it was Tara and she had just, you know, she knew where all the bodies were buried and she knew everything that had happened. So, you know, and we saw like what happened with Beth, but this could have been so much worse if Jed had come back in. So
yeah, and all those conversations that would have been catastrophic. I also just don't understand, like, this is the first week coming into the show that I was just really like not excited to even watch the show. I was like,
that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. But can we just get to the final now? Like, I've stopped thinking about this show for 4 or 5 days and all of a sudden out of sight, out of mind. And like, why do you want to write up to the finals, take the wind out of the sails of your show? Like, that's just brutal. There's no tweets about it. There's no posts about it. There's no nothing. It's just radio silence for Big Brother Canada.
Radio silence. For what? For what? That's what I want to say to the producers of Big Brother Canada. For what? What did you get out of this? Okay? What did you get out of pissing everybody off and just like saying a bit, it's just a big fuck you to the fans. It's exactly what it is. They don't care about you feeders. They don't care about the people who tweet about the show. They don't care. So I want them to care, to show us that they care. Don't do shit like this. Like, it was bad enough that they put the twist in the first place, but then to turn the feeds off for 5 days. I mean, I know I made a joke about it that I was in Florida and that, you know, it was a good timing, but like, it was such a horrible decision.
Yeah.
All the people I follow, they were so pissed about it. And again, what did you get out of it? Nothing. You got nothing out of it. Ugh.
Wow.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't believe I almost forgot that.
Yeah. The catharsis is complete. So that's the episode.
I'm like Palpatine after he like kills Mace Windu. I'm like,
Oh man. Yeah. Wow. I don't know what to do with that.
I mean, like, look, I still love you guys, Arista, Aaron, yeah. Trevor, still love you guys. Doing a great show. Just don't fucking do stupid shit. Okay. Yeah. Don't do stupid shit and we'll be cool.
Just don't. Yeah, you got a good formula. Just let it go.
There were some questions from the people. I told the people to ask some questions. So I wanted to here we go. Tracy says, Brent, did you see the screenshot of the OLG room with the buzzer podiums? I did see that, Tracy. It could be a fast answer HOH. It could be something that they are revving up. I did see that leak. Maybe that's going to be what's going to be at the final four. But again, I only saw two podiums and like the final three or sorry, final four HOH is going to be between three people. So I don't know exactly how that works. Like, or maybe there was a podium, but it was like behind the camera or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but I definitely something that we're probably going to see come up. It could be, maybe they were testing something for final HOH. I don't know what they were doing, but yes, I did see the leak. Just don't know what it's about. Did you have any thoughts on that, Zach? Did you see, I don't know if you saw the leak of it.
I haven't seen that at all.
Yes. If I'm reading the top of the chat, so if anybody says anything or if there's more information, let me know. Okay. Doug says, I know he asked this question. Basically, who has to win out? Let's talk Final Four. Assuming that Beth is evicted at the Final Five tomorrow, then Final Four. We know Braden is going to be one of the three people who's not HOH. If Ty is HOH, I feel like that is not good for Braden, but I don't know that it's a death sentence either. I think that for Kiefer, particularly, as we talked about before, Tara winning HOH is his worst result. Yeah. If he doesn't win HOH himself, he wants it to be Ty because he wants to make sure that Tara's there available to be evicted. He can talk up the threat of Tara more than he can somebody else, I think. So it's important that Tara doesn't win HOH at the Final Four for Kiefer specifically. Well, how are you? Is there anybody who's definitely safe at the Final Four? Can Ty go home at the Final Four? Because Braden can't be HOH. Huh?
I would be shocked if Ty went home at four. Maybe if he's sitting next to Braden somehow.
And Tara's voting.
Or
even Kiefer's voting.
Either way, I still don't know. I think those recent comp wins,
a lot of possibilities.
Save Ty, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's less clear. I don't know where those players stand on some of those.
Yeah, I'm reasonably confident that if Braden wins veto, he's gonna save Ty, and if Ty wins veto, he's gonna save Braden. I know that part. I just don't do they recognize the threat that Kiefer is? That's the question I need answered. I think Tara does. But then again, I honestly have some empathy for her in this position because does she want to go to the end with a duo? That Ty and Braden are together.
That's true.
I mean, that puts her in a very bad position. So Tara specifically really, I'm trying to think. So if let's talk it out. Let's say at the Final Four, if Tara wins veto, she evicts Kiefer and goes to the end with a duo, then she must win out from that standpoint.
Yeah, she's putting
but if she takes Kiefer, if she takes Kiefer with her and evicts, she would have to be evicting Braden. Oh no, she could evict Ty too if Kiefer wins HOH. Wow, I can see a situation where it puts her in such a horrible position because she's either taking out the biggest threat to win the game, but cutting herself off in the long run of getting to the final two, or taking Kiefer with her, but knowing that she's going to lose to him if he makes it with her to the end. So,
yeah, but if she gets the final three with Kiefer and Ty or Kiefer and Bray, she knows that she's going to the end. I would have to think she's got a way better shot than.
We seem very close though. Yeah,
It lowers her win possibility, but it increases her chance to get there so significantly. I think it's a smarter move.
Which one? The evicting Kiefer? In the long run or what?
Keeping Kiefer. I think it's smarter keeping for her Kiefer, to keep okay. Kiefer. Yeah.
Okay. You think it's smarter for her to keep Kiefer and break up the duo?
Yeah, just because that increases her possibility to get to the end so significantly that I think the fact that she might get beat by Kiefer is not enough downside to outweigh that positive. Because either way, because the odds of her winning out are just so low. I just can't see that happening.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know, Tracy. I know she says she's okay with getting $20,000, but that's what they all say. Don't they all say that? Nobody says, I only want to win. I can only accept winning. Everybody is I'm cool getting $20,000. You want to make yourself seem like you don't care so that people aren't as threatened by you. Again, I still don't understand what the fuck Kiefer's doing with his, telling everybody how good he is and how he's going to win.
It's worked so far.
God bless him because he's played the game out in front. I'll say this, I know Kiefer, he can be annoying. He can be a little full of himself, but I've had those same words described about me and he's done something that I think I would love to be able to say myself that he played the game out in front the entire time. Remember, he was voted as a captain in the beginning of the game. It was obvious that he was one of the more popular players in the game, got himself into a mega alliance, controlled the first part of the game, then got himself, working with TNT and working with the Sunsetters, sort of part-time a little bit, and has done it all with empathy and, not really gotten too mad. I know he got into it with Rohan, but that was really it. Even then, he didn't really treat Rohan that badly. I know he obsessed on him, but again, Rohan's not on the jury, so it doesn't even matter. But aside from that, I think he's done a really remarkable job of playing the game out in front. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Ro is on the jury. So, but I don't think he's going to hold.
I meant Kyle. That's what I meant. Yeah. I know Ryan's on the jury. I meant Kyle. I know this game. Sorry.
You are all good.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we just snip that part right there?
Yeah. Just quick edit. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the week that Kyle went home and there's so many bad moves this week. I still remember thinking about that the week before where they evicted Josh over Roe and thinking about how bad that move was then. And then some of these people have made horrible moves. Kiefer's made horrible moves himself, but yet if he gets to the end, he's going to win 7-0 and he's going to think he's like a mastermind. And we're just going to have to put up with it because to the victor goes the spoils. He gets to write his own history. We know what happened, but he still got the W and that's going to matter if he gets to the end.
Yeah. Gameplay is relative. He on any other season, I think is a mid to lower tier player. On this season, he's relatively unbeatable.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Like Kyle, who? Yeah, and Mary Wright. Yeah, Kyle. Like, was he on this season? I forgot he was the replacement. He was the replacement for that guy who was who said some. I think he said some like racist stuff or homophobic stuff. I can't remember. There was a guy who was supposed to be on the show. Kyle was the replacement. I remember that because I remember the draft and like how Kyle. They came up live while somebody was podcasting about the Canada and how that Kyle was now on the cast too. So he was like an alternate, and he got to live an amazing experience.
Yeah, good for him. He was clearly a big fan. Not great television.
Not great television. I was happy to see him go. Yeah, he was pretty to look at, but I can look at him on the outside. I follow him. So,
of course. Awesome. We got anything else? Any other questions?
I think we're good. And if you guys have any more questions, let me know. Mary says that winning percentage wise, she thinks it's like Kiefer 50%. She has Tara 25%. It has Ty actually at the bottom. I know that Ty is not great at expressing himself, and I know he's not been looked at as favorably by other people, but I still think him getting to the end, he's such a lovable guy, and people like they don't have any animus for Ty. So I think they'd be okay voting with him. That's important. I think like if someone like Beth or somebody like me, like you get to the end, you know, there's going to be some animus to you. And Ty is the kind of person, he's more of a beta person. He's not an alpha person. He's more somebody more is go along to get along kind of guy. And that's important at the final two. If you're looking for votes in a seven person jury, you only need four to win.
Yeah. And like on this season, you want to vote for someone who represents your season. I think Ty's been like you're happy for him to
represent like
you.
A gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I love him.
Yeah, with the state of the world, like you're going to be very happy for Ty to represent your season. He's classy. He's an awesome dude. He got along with everybody. That's exactly what they're going to want for the narrative of the season. So I can see that definitely having some pull.
Yeah, this has also been such an amazing season and so unpredictable. And I just want to point out to Big Brother Canada that they did it all without any twists. Like I'm a fan of a good twist every now and then, but like they didn't do any like really fuck you over kind of twist. And even the twist that they tried to pull basically like blew up in their face because Tara just came right back in after being evicted like 5 seconds before. Like, I mean, like there was nothing to it. Basically this season, it's all about casting, and you see the people that they put in this house. It is a house that is reflective of the kind of casts that we want to see in reality TV that has more than one token black person or more than one token person of color in the house. We want to see casts like this, and look at what they have given you. Look at this amazing season. I know we've been pulling our hair out on some people, but like god damn, it's been pretty spectacular. Like
I would talk about some messy gameplay than team rolling. So yeah, I love it. They're idiots, but I love them. This is exactly what I want.
There are idiots. That's the thing. They might be idiots, but there are idiots. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what you're talking about the twist, Brent. This is the season of Big Brother Canada teams. This will always be remembered for the team twist. So
yes. That lasted 2 weeks or something. Yeah. I remember being on this podcast going, people were like, do you think teams are done after this week? And I'm like, girl. Like they have wedded themselves to this idea of teams. Like they do not want to admit that it's a flop, even though it was. They're not going to get rid of teams. And then like literally like 24 hours later, it was like Peter Brown and you were talking about the fact that Arissa said no more teams. So again, I'm not always right, but you know, When I am, I like to point it out.
And I'm rarely right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find me on social media at Zach Hacker Writes. Brent, where can people find you?
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. You can follow me on Twitter, which is where I mainly tweet. I have been doing a lot of Instagram lately. I have lost over 50 pounds. Don't know if you guys noticed or not. But I used to be 225, and now I'm like 170, 175. And I went to Florida, took a couple pictures, and just feeling myself. I'm living my best life. Zach, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm living my best life. It's honestly very weird. I will tell you this. This is nothing to do with this show, but I will tell you this fun story. So I went down to Florida, and Wilton Manors in the middle of Fort Lauderdale, the gayest place on earth, one of anyway. I'm sure San Francisco rivals it, but whatever. Went to the Eagle on Saturday night, which is a heavy duty gay bar, let me just say. And there is a room that you can go into only with leather on. It's a coded room, basically. C-O-D-E-D, coded. It's a code room where you can only go in with leather or you have to take your shirt off. Well, I was wearing a paisley shirt and, khaki shorts. So I didn't have anything on that would pass the code. So I had to take my shirt off. And I haven't taken my shirt off in public in a bar like that, honestly, in probably 14 years. Was right after I get 30. And I did that. I took my shirt off and I went in the back room. I won't tell you what happened. But I have fun. And I felt amazing. I felt fucking amazing. So I'm 46 years old. It's never too late, for real, to get a hold of yourself and live your best life. And I'm living proof of that, baby. I'm just saying.
Dude, I'm stoked for you. That is awesome. Yes. So glad that that is how your Fort Lauderdale experience went down. It was amazing. Self-love coming out of that. Yes. Especially in a Big Brother community that could sometimes be the opposite of self-love. So that is very positive messaging. I love it.
The fans have been very good. Thank you guys. Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us over here. I know it's a learning curve for me being in a new environment and having a new coworker and Zach and tweeting about something and really carrying a show on my own. Without anybody else, obviously Zach, you're amazing, but of notes, the your name isn't on the sign like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's been very cool. I never would have asked for this, but this has been really fun. And you guys have brought in the numbers and followed me over here and you've stayed with me for the most part of the season. And even after a killer twist that, lost us 5 days of feeds, you guys still come over and join us. And I saw how many people were in the chat and you guys have been amazing. So I honestly would just want to tell you all out there, Tracy and Mary and Heather and Doug and all of you guys who come by Doom, you two, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming over and listening to us. And I will try to keep it going and keep doing an awesome job.
Yeah, it really means so much. Thank you, everybody. And I forgot to say, if you are in the greater Cincinnati area, as Brent and I both are, or if you just want to do a little bit of a travel, this July, Reality NSFW is going to be hosting a big reality TV event with a lot of reality TV folks joining. It's my going away party. I think I've said I'm moving to Morocco to pursue a teaching job that my wife and I got there. And this is the big going away party. So it should be a lot of fun. If you're interested in that, check out the website, check out Johnny Fairplay has been posting at the events on Facebook, but that should be a lot of fun if you're a reality TV fan.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I will be joining you and I will have a fantastic time.
That Hell yeah. A lot of fun. Excellent. Yes. And with that, good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks guys. See ya.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
When it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest. Most healthy snacks don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who make snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar.
Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 150 calories.
They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle and the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm personally not a keto eater, but I love these nut and seed bars. I try to have one of these always on me for a snack because I'm usually trying to train for a new running distance I'm trying to hit. I think 2021 is going to be the year for my first full marathon, and I think Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars are going to help me get there because they're giving me the energy I need and the nutrition I need to make those health goals possible.
Wow. Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars have the perfect balance of sweet and salty, a crunch from whole nuts and seeds, but still manage to be soft and chewy. How do they do it? They come in delicious flavors like sea salt, dark chocolate, pecan almond, and my favorite, no contest, love these so much, game changers, if you will, the peanut butter dark chocolate.
So good. They're perfect for a quick snack to satisfy your sweet tooth without any guilt. Enjoy Monk Pack Keto Nut and Seed Bars as a quick breakfast, while running errands, or after a workout.
In addition to being keto-friendly, these bars are gluten-free, plant-based, and non-GMO. So with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial flavors.
They really taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door.
Try it for yourself and see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering promo code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to monkpack.com, that's MUNKPACK.com, and select any product and then use promo code SURVIVOR, they love it when we do that, at checkout to save 20% off your purchase.
Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious foods you can count on, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast.
Are you ready to enter the wild again? There's a chance no one has seen your balls in a few months. Don't ruin your first post-quarantine date with a ball fro. Would you show up to your first day of school without a haircut?
Manscaped is here to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Johnny, how's your grooming been lately?
Oh, man, I am sleek, aerodynamic. I'm like that new Tesla. I mean, I got a bunch of 5Ks coming up. I got a bunch of half marathons coming up. Oh, man, I'm going to run so fast. There's no friction between Johnny Fairplay, little Johnny Fairplay, and home sweet home.
Oh, that's good news, because Manscaped is here to help everyone else get on that level with their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced while preparing yourself for post-quarantine life. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining.
The Perfect Package 3.0 also comes with the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. Now, the Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, which ensures that your afternoon stroll doesn't end with your balls sticking to your leg. They call that bat winging. You can eliminate that with a little manscaping, courtesy of the Crop Preserver. But the Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. It's made with a soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts that give your balls a boost. Now, subscribers to the Peak Hygiene Plan get a new replacement blade refill for your Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Don't be using no old razor. Come on. And making sure your trimmer stays fresh and clean.
The light is at the end of the tunnel, fellas. Treat yourself for making it through quarantine with the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that. And your first date will thank you.